All right, the young people are heading back. We do have to be thankful for these teachers, all these little ones. That looks good. With the family last night, sort of looking at sermon notes and sort of watching a movie. It's not a good combination. I want to focus on either one of them. Well, then my parents called in the middle of that, so. I was encouraged and amused in the movie, and it kind of reminded me, I think it was called The Parent Guide for the Dads? Comedy.
PG.
PG, sure. But one of the things that happens a lot in movies is you end up with this plot line going along, and then there's always that little twist in it that makes you see things differently. Last night it was these grandparents, and they were a bit wacky and trying to watch the grandkids, and eventually they all figured it out how to love each other and be this big, happy family that we all want to be. But it reminded me of how many things in life are seen in one perspective, and yet if you stop and stare, you kind of begin to see something different. So it reminded me of some illusions that are out there. A lot of them are visual that we see. Pay attention to the elephant's legs there, if you've never seen this before. They're not quite what they appear to be. As soon as you focus on one leg, it's not the leg anymore. The one next to it's the leg, but that's not really the leg. So there's lots of things that we see that way that aren't quite... Okay, there's a lot of... All right, we'll switch off of that. So, but it's not just how we see things, it's actually how we use words as well. Has anybody ever been on a seafood diet? Any food that you see, you go ahead and eat. So, some of the fun ways that we use language and how our senses deceive us. And it ties very well into today as we're talking about Jesus' statement, I am statement, that I am the bread of life. We've been going through this season of Lent, looking at the I am statements, Jesus claiming to be God, claiming to be God-man, claiming to be the one who came to save us from our sins. And today we're looking at Jesus being the bread of life. Now, in order to set this up, actually, Jesus did a miracle. I'm not going to do the miracle, but I brought what he started with, at least. Five loaves of bread. Let's stick them up here. So we keep them. And two fish. They weren't very big fish. It says they were little ones, so they fit into the can. So we have the two fish. They don't smell this way either. And we have the five loaves. And they're actually going to come out to the church lunch afterwards so we can eat them. And if there's 12 baskets of this left over, then somebody here has the gift of miracle working. There you go. But Jesus set up the statement that he's making in these verses in chapter 6 of John. He sets up the statement, I am the bread of life, with a miracle the day before. They're out in the hillsides in a kind of a remote place. We're familiar with this story. There's lots and lots of people there. In fact, it says there's 5,000 men, and then their wives and their kids running around. It's kind of like in here. If you count the men, and then you double it for the women, and then you multiply times four, or six, I don't know how many it is. Multiply it by a bunch more exponent there. You end up with how many people? So 10, 12, 15, 20,000. There's a lot of people. And Jesus asked his disciples, how are we going to feed these people? Good question. And they said, well, we had a year's worth of money. It's still not going to be quite enough for us to go to a store and buy the bread and bring it out here. So that wasn't a good solution. And Philip says to Jesus, well, there's this little boy over here who's got five loaves and two fish, but what is that? Jesus says it's good enough. Bring me the bread. Sit the people down. He takes out the bread. He tears off pieces and he sends it out. And everybody eats. And then he says, go collect what's left. And they collected, it says, 12 baskets full of bread. There's a lot of bread out there. Feeding 10 plus thousand people, collecting 12 baskets of food, which each of the disciples came back. I was looking for them. Full basket full of food, full of bread. Bread. Extra white bread. I think it's rye bread in the story. So it spends a whole day setting up what he's about to say. Jesus is getting their attention. Let's stop right there and make sure he has our attention. Father God, we come into your presence this morning knowing that we need to hear from you. You're aware of what's gone on in our lives this week. You know the busyness that many of us have faced. You know the pain that some of us have faced. You know the joy that's been present, and you know the disappointments. But all of us this morning come here into your presence because we need you. We need to know Jesus, our Savior, claims this morning to be the bread of life, all that we need. So we come this morning and we invite you, Holy Spirit, to speak to our hearts, correct us, and point us towards truth, and give us the strength to live it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus says in John chapter 6, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. The day passed where he did this great miracle, and it says, in the night, his disciples got in the boat and crossed to the other side. And Jesus, again another miracle setting up here, walked across the water to the disciples. Kind of scared them. Haven't seen too many people walking on water. It's kind of a scary thing at night. And then they appeared on the other side. And the next day, these crowds, these thousands of people, are looking around and saying, hey, where is this Jesus? And the author, John, who's writing this, actually says, and they were looking around the place where Jesus had blessed the bread. So he's putting it back into focus that this is all about bread. This whole chapter 6 is talking about bread. So people are looking, where did Jesus go? They can't find him, so they hop on the boat and they travel across to the town of Capernaum, and they find Jesus there, and they ask him finally, where'd you come from? How did you get here? And Jesus, noticing what's going on here, says, you're not looking for me because you saw a miracle. You're looking for me because you ate bread yesterday. Brings it right down to this very physical requirement, need, desire of the people. The reason Jesus left them the day before is because they wanted to make him king. They wanted to make him the person who was going to rule over them. And why? So they could eat bread. Wouldn't have to work. They're reminded, through what Jesus has done here, of a story from the Old Testament, Moses. Moses, who had led the people in the wilderness for 40 years, and in that time, the Israelites ate the bread of heaven every single day. So they're thinking, wow, if this is really going to be what the kingdom of God is about, we're going to eat bread every day, hey, that saves us money, that saves us some time, and we've got the person who's going to do it for us. We're all ready. But Jesus didn't set this whole scenario up, this whole scene, this whole illustration living out in front of them just so they could have something to eat. He's trying through these physical realities, through this loaf of bread that they had eaten, to teach them of a spiritual truth. It's the illusion that we're talking about here that we've seen, where they're seeing one thing and he's trying to teach them about something else. He's making the statement, I am. Heard that before. I am. He's claiming to be God. And here he adds as a metaphor, I am the bread of life. I am the bread that gives eternal life. So he's switching their perspective here and helping them to see there's something more going on than just the physical bread. John chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus has to repeat this statement several times in this chapter. Yes, he's set up with physical bread one day. They're looking for him to give them more bread the next day. And yet Jesus is having to keep getting into their faces and pointing them to this other reality. When they're asking him, how do we do the work of God? Jesus says, this is the work. Believe in the one that God sent. Sounds simple enough. Kind of a change there for them. And they said, so what sign are you going to prove to us that you're from God? What work are you going to do? We're supposed to, our work is to believe. What is your work so that we're going to believe in you? And they give the example of Moses. He fed us in the wilderness. And this is where Jesus kind of steps in and corrects their thinking. He says, no, it's not a prophet you're looking for. Because even in the Old Testament, when God was providing bread for you, it wasn't Moses, it was God. Jesus says, it was not Moses who gave you this bread from heaven, but it's my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. This is the first time Jesus is starting to explain to the people, it's not just physical bread that you want. What Jesus is talking about here is the true bread that comes out of heaven and gives life. Now, what could that be? People are confused. What is this true bread that Jesus is trying to get at? And so he says that in verse 35, Jesus says, I am this bread of life. And he who comes to me shall not hunger. Anything to get it? No. First time around, as he says this, they actually start complaining. This is the mild reaction to it. They complain, and they say, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? Well, then, how can you say, I've come from heaven? Jesus lets them know he has. So the first round of I am the bread of life ends with them going, you can't come from God. We know your mom and dad. What is going on here? So they miss the first allusion, the first metaphor saying Jesus has something to offer them. So round two. They keep going, they keep talking here, wrestling with it. And here in verse 47, Jesus says to them again, truly I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, so that no one, sorry, lost the place there, so that no one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that comes down out of heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread also which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. He's explaining it more and more. He's helping them to move beyond the physical reality to Jesus himself being the bread of life. His body and his flesh. How do you think they're going to respond to this one? Are they getting this metaphor? Are they starting to understand it? No. Once again, they start this time arguing and complaining and saying, how can he give us his flesh to eat? So the first reaction to Jesus claiming to be this bread of life, they complain. We know him. The second time he starts explaining he is the bread of life, they actually turn hostile and think he's talking very practically and physically about cannibalism. Kind of weird, because they're seeing it literal, they're not understanding the spiritual reality that Jesus is talking here. So how do we move beyond this physical barrier? How do we move beyond just seeing what Jesus is saying and begin to see what God is trying to do, what God is offering to people here? God has to step in himself. He says here in verse 57, as the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he shall live because of me. And this is the bread which comes down out of heaven. Not as the Father's agent died, but he who eats of this bread shall live forever. Amen. Jesus is saying in these verses here that it's the Father that draws people to him. Father who opens our eyes. Sometimes we need others to step in and explain to us what's going on. We need somebody to point out that what we see is not reality. And so Jesus in these verses is helping them take these almost baby steps to get to the point where they can see the physical reality in front of them is not all that exists. You stop to look in your own life. Jesus here is claiming to be bread. Mundane, everyday kind of a thing, especially here in Macedonia. Everybody eats a loaf and a half or two a day of bread. It's through the day. You've noticed that. There's different kinds of bakeries for every kind of bread. So Jesus very much relates to the Macedonian culture by putting this metaphor in here for us. I am the bread of life. He wants us, though, to move beyond these everyday physical realities. So what is it in your life that you're focused on each day? What is it that is in your life that you think, you know, if I get this, I'm going to make it through the day all right. Actually, even better, Jesus gives me this every day, I'm set. I think it's very easy for us to focus on what's right in front of us that we need, these physical realities that get us through the day. Sometimes, if I was to be honest, my cell phone kind of takes that. I have my cell phone powered up, and I'm able to connect and check my emails. It's a good day. Until about 3 in the afternoon when the battery crashes and all of a sudden I'm disconnected and I know my wife's looking for me and the kids are somewhere and I need to find them. A physical reality that gets in the way of looking to Jesus. A physical reality that blocks what God is trying to do. Bread in this story here is not an evil thing. It's not something we have to get rid of. It's something that we have to see through and get to the other side to see that God is the one providing. Not just the physical reality, but the spiritual reality on the other side of it. The starting point in this is to believe. If we're going to see past physical realities, we actually have to get to the point where we can see that they help us. See that these physical realities are a stepping stone or the path that helps us to get to what God is trying to do in our lives. Physical realities very easily cloud what God is doing. The start of this Lent season, I encourage many of you to put off something, to fast from something. It's a season where we, in one sense, try to put off something that's important to us in order to focus on the fact that Christ himself came to this earth and suffered and died in our place. And so I, at home, took about 3 days and was doing a fast from food, just flat out no food. After about 24 hours, I was actually opening up each of the recipes I get in my email inbox every day just to read through them. After 2 days, as I'm in the kitchen, you know, trying to fry an egg for my kids and going, this is just not right. How do I do this? I need food. A lot of food, just to be honest. And we're going to enjoy food at our church lunch here in a little bit. But food itself, whether it's bread or whether it's a beautiful steak or whether it's a beautiful piece of fish just laid out perfectly or a beautiful pile of vegetables, sweetly cooked. Food is not what we need for life. It sustains us. It gets us through the day. But it doesn't give us life. And it very easily becomes the focus of our attention. How much time we put into preparing it, how much time we spend thinking about it, or trying not to think about it. Food is very easily misused. But we have the season of Lent to remind ourselves, whether it's one day a week or a few days at a time, that we can put aside food as a reminder that we can't put aside the bread of life. We can't put aside Jesus. We need him in our life.
Amen.
Not just weekly here on Sunday mornings. We need him daily. The bread of life is something that we consume, we take each day of our lives. In fact, in these verses, Jesus actually uses the word abide. He actually uses it in other places much more in depth, but here he's saying, unless we're abiding in him, which means constantly, daily being with him, working with him, talking with him, in relationship with him, that we're not understanding what he's saying. Every day, through the day, whether it's prayer, whether it's stopping, or whether it's just the panic moment to call out and say, Jesus, I need you. He's there. Bread of life is a consistent, daily, physical reality. We need him. As much as we need the food, as much as we need drink, Jesus is saying, we need him. So we believe in him. That's throughout this whole chapter here. It's actually the point of John as he's writing this book, this Gospel of John. He's written these things that those who read it would believe, and that by believing, they might have life in his name. So this whole chapter that we're looking at today in John chapter 6, and you're going to read it this week, I'm encouraging you to. Adi's read it for today. He promised me he would, and he's prepared for today. He's read this chapter. This chapter 6 is challenging us, setting us up to believe, to give us this choice. And that's why as we're looking in these verses here, we're seeing how people responded. First people, they complained. The second group here, they actually got hostile. We get to the end of this chapter, and people start making decisions. Some of the disciples say, this is too hard, I can't do this anymore, and they stop following Jesus. And so he looks to his own disciples and asks them, what are you going to do? Can you believe this? And Peter answers and says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life. Peter got it. He understood in some sense today in this chapter that Jesus is the bread of life. He has words of life. Jesus' statement today of I am the bread of life is just one more push in helping people to believe that he is the living God. Amen. And he's changing lives slowly, day by day. Unfortunately, the chapter ends with Jesus saying, yeah, you might be believing, but I chose you, and yet one of you is a devil. One of you is going to betray me. There's always a choice that we're making as we go through our life. We're always faced with these physical realities of, what am I going to do? Am I going to trust Jesus today for what I can't see, or am I going to look at the obstacles in front of me and say, no, I need that more than I need Jesus? We have a challenge this morning to believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We have a challenge to live with him moment by moment. And the challenge to identify these obstacles that are in our life that distract us. Maybe it's that job promotion that we're pushing for, we think we're going to get. As Mary says, get shot down and you don't quite get it. It happens. But if the job is the focus, then you can't keep going. Jesus is the focus. You still have life. There's people in your life that you're trying to please, and you don't quite do it. You disappoint them. That could be an end-all game right there for you. Because you realize Jesus is beyond that relationship. He's the one guiding and shaping you in that. You can keep going. Eternal life is what we're wrestling with this morning. And God is using physical realities to get our attention, to shape us, to help us to realize there's more than just there. Sometimes he gives. He fed the people one day. He gave them food to eat and filled them up. And the next day, he didn't. Physical realities are God's gracious gift when he gives them, and a gracious lesson when he doesn't. Because he wants us to see that he is there. He is in relationship with us. And he is what we need beyond anything else. We've got a few weeks left before Easter. Keep wrestling with this statement, especially this week in your small groups as you read through this chapter and as you talk about what does it mean for you that Jesus is your bread of life? How does that life come to you? How do you take a hold of it? Sometimes it's letting things go and sometimes it's starting new things. Your small group, a family that knows you really well, they're the ones that help you wrestle these questions through. Make sure you're in one. Or call me up and we'll talk. God's at work here. He's changing my life. He's changing your life. We need the bread of life. Lord Jesus, we thank you for these words that we have in this Gospel of John this morning. So often we find ourselves like the crowd, just completely confused at the spiritual meaning of life when the physical is just so big, so in front of us, such an obstacle. So we ask this morning that you open our eyes to what you are doing. We ask that you be this bread of life for us. Words of life, eternal life, that sustain us, that nourish us, that get us through the day, and keep us from stumbling over practical necessities. We need them, yes, but we need you more than all. And so we come this morning as your children, as a body of believers. We come to you as sons and daughters of the living King. And we ask that you give us this bread of life today. Nourish our spirits, strengthen us, draws close to you, the living God. For we do believe, and we love you, Jesus.